Much to the beginning of next week.
Oh, he's on the phone with somebody else.
Yeah, the beginning of next week.
Fucking asshole. For all you tweeters who met Damon last week, he's giving you this week. He can go fuck himself.
It usually is, though. It usually is.
What?
Oh, it's a lady.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest gangster back for the first time, you heard? Along with Brand. If you some gangster, homie, bop your head, let him hang. I see you shaking, shawty, gone, girl, do your thing. Do the chain, just a watch and a pinky ring. Now everybody come together, join along and sing. I'm from the ghetto, homie. I was raised on bread and bologna. You can't come around here, cause you're phony. Now keep it moving, move around, get off me. Now keep it moving, move around, get off, Bill. Now keep it moving, move around, get off, Bill. Now keep it moving, move around, get off.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm not drunk tonight. I drank enough last night, and in celebration, before, during, and after the game. So, I'll say it, the Times-Picayune said it best.
Oh my God.
On Monday morning, the Panthers have a new owner, and it's the New Orleans Saints. I love the broom coming out in the locker room. I love the fun that the team was having. This playoff win actually also continues the Sean Payton Drew Brees home playoff undefeated streak. You know, the Saints have never lost a home playoff game when Drew Brees was quarterback and Sean Payton as coach. And it also answers the question of what happens if a defense focuses on Kamara and Ingram and forces Brady and the passing game to beat you. I've been asking all year, and we finally got that answer. Yeah, everybody shows up for the game. We are going to cover as much as we can, talk about it. We're going to obviously focus on Minnesota, look at a few tweets, and I guess we'll talk about pick'ems. It's not that big of a deal. But anyway,
what?
Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
Still getting over that sickness. I haven't quite kicked it yet, but I am a... I'll go with a 2. Today is my anniversary. So we had a nice dinner at Vincent's right by our house. So I had a couple glasses of wine there, drinking a little cocktail now. Still just excited about, I mean, everything. The last day has been great, you know, with the win. Got to meet a few fellow Twitter personalities that at the tailgate. Maybe I'll get into that in our recap. In our game recap. Yeah. But, I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great.
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good, Jeff. The season has been validated. Everything is wonderful.
Well, all right. Then let's get in to talk about probably the best game recap that we're going to have this season.
I told your fucking ass I'll be back in a brand new Fleetwood Cadillac.
Simply because
what?
I said it's going to be the best game recap we've had all season.
So far?
Yeah.
Up to this point, you mean?
Yeah, sorry, so far. Until next week.
Look, well, you said it in your introduction. So, your plan, when you're playing the first ballot Hall of Famer, who leads the league in completion percentage, has more 5,000 yards passing than every quarterback in the history of the NFL combined, and your plan is you're going to say, fuck it, we're going to make you beat me? Okay. Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
We didn't need tight ends, even though one of them caught a touchdown.
Oh, Hill played well.
We had a Josh Hill sightings this week.
Yeah.
He had the wide open touchdown, but man, there was a play where he caught one up the seam.
Oh,
like a 20, 25 yard. I was like, shit, I didn't think he had that in him. Like, it was a great, great catch. He had a good game. Brandon Coleman had a good game.
Look, did you? And maybe this is because we threw more than we do the rest of, you know, we have the rest of the season. But man, I mean, you had Hill who caught a couple, Coleman caught several, but then the ball was kind of spread around. You know, everybody got one pass. Willie Snead got a pass.
Fullback Zach Line. I mean, Kamara and Ingram each only had one, but
the Panthers' game plan was to stop Kamara and Ingram. I mean, they came out, they sold
they
out.
They did.
For whatever reason, they chose to test Breeze in the passing game. And look, maybe that's not to test Breeze. Maybe it goes back to, like, they looked at it and, like, you know what? We know Kamara and Ingram can beat us. They've done it twice. And they do it to everybody else. So the one thing that may be, if there's a weakness to call out, is not the Breeze element, but maybe the receiver element, right? Like, other than Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn.
Yeah, and they shut down the running game. We only rushed 22 times. We didn't get very far. I mean, they loaded up the box, and we couldn't run. They controlled time of possession. I mean, we only had the ball for, I think, like 22 minutes of this game. We did throw more, but Breeze only attempted 33 passes. It's not like he went batshit crazy with like 45, 50 attempts. He only threw it 30 times.
Well, that's because one of those drives, it was pretty much one pass, right?
yeah, it was kind of nice. That was good.
Vintage Saints. I thought it was Devery Henderson running back there.
And yeah, and that's the thing. Like, we were all waiting. Like, we know Breeze. I mean, obviously Breeze has it in him. We just have been able to not need it. And when we needed it, I mean, he came through. And that was the difference. I mean, in the couple of playoff games, you know, of the weekend prior to that, especially the Jacksonville Buffalo game, just the lack of quarterback competency, at least, you know, big game competency, was just such on display. And then you get Breeze, and that's why I'm confident that we have that chance, because we have him.
Oh, no doubt.
It makes all the difference in the world when you got a guy like that. I mean, dude, the throw he made to Thomas when he scrambled out to the right and threw it, it's like, for a 38-year-old, almost 39-year-old quarterback to make that play is just incredible.
Look, we have the best quarterback in the playoffs.
Even better than Tom Brady.
I think so.
Tom Brady couldn't have rolled out and made that play. He couldn't have scrambled and moved out like that.
No. Nope. I think we have the best quarterback in the playoffs, and a running game, and a defense that can still, you know, bring. So I guess, let's talk about, I don't know if controversy is the right word, but the Panthers crying over the intentional grounding.
I mean, it was, the ESPN showed the replay and put the lines in. That was clearly in the pocket.
It's not even close. And not just that, but the second Cam Jordan touches him, he chunks it. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, it's and then Ron Rivera had the nerve to get up in the press conference and, you know, complain about penalties when, you know, I think we had 7 for 91 yards and they had 2.
Yeah, they had was 2, right.
Right. I mean, go screw yourself.
You know, I mean, they always make excuses for, right. Cam and the Panthers always make excuses. Right. And I gotta hand it to at McDoug on Twitter. He's been tweeting all day, you know, because the Panthers deal is keep pounding, and he's like, keep pouting.
Yeah.
Keep pouting. Like, it's been great because they're so their fans have been so bitter all day about stupid shit, whether it's the grounding or just whatever other kind of bullshit they're coming up with.
Well, did you
it's fantastic.
Did you hear, too, the that Cam Jordan is apparently mailing Cam Newton a bottle of wine?
A bottle of wine. I mean, is that because he whines? I mean,
that's what I thought at first, but I think it's Cam Jordan's kind of thing is more of a, you know, because I think in his quote was something to the effect of, like, when you beat a team 3 times, you know, and the way Cam Jordan treats Cam Newton in the games, he's like, you gotta at least send the guy a bottle of wine, you know.
No.
He deserves at least that. But I think it is a little bit to do with the level of whining that happens.
I mean, at least that's the way I took it. And, you know,
you saw Cam, he called Matt Khalil, the guy who was going against, uh, called him Speed Bump McGee.
No.
I didn't know Cam Jordan had that trash talk element.
I didn't either, but you know what? As good as he's played this year, he can fucking say whatever he wants, and I fucking love it.
I'm sorry, all pro Cam Jordan.
Look, I mean, this year I feel like he's finally getting his props that he deserved. I've said it probably every week this NFL season. Cam Jordan is the most unrecognized player, unappreciated player, defensive end in the NFL. I mean, my goodness, man. It feels like he's on every big play on the defense. He's somehow, you know, swatting balls down, sacking quarterbacks, getting...
Yeah.
I mean...
He is so, like, I watched... Like Baldy did, somebody did some kind of replay. Like he's so good. He is whatever spin move, swap move, bull rush. It doesn't matter. He's so good.
If he was in New York, you couldn't turn around without seeing his picture and them talking about him. Mm-hmm. If he was in a bigger market, if he was in New York or God forbid L.A. or if he was in Dallas, I mean, you'd think he was the second coming of Christ himself. You know, but because he plays here, and we haven't had the best of records since he's been here, you know.
And we've had the worst defenses of all time the last 3 years.
Historically.
Yeah. Like I said, I did say all time.
Yeah. So, yeah, but hey, look, he's getting the prop now. That defense has turned around. It's young. That's just so nice. And I guess the other big, the four big plays, in my opinion, the two field goals that were so huge on both sides.
The miss by them, and then, dude, Lutz making the...
I love it. I mean, Gonneau came and made a 58-yarder, and Sean Payne said, hey, we can do that, too. Gonneau made a, 57-yarder by Lutz. Love that.
Massive.
But, okay, the fourth down call. Agree, disagree, like it, don't like it?
I agree with going for it. I wanted to close out the game. I didn't want to give them the ball back. Right. I wanted to go close it out and win it.
Right. But you understand, if you don't make it, you're. Now, look, their player saved us, 22 yards by making the interception instead of just knocking the ball down?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously knocking the ball down is a play if you're on defense in that situation. You know, he cost them 22 yards. And, you know, from where the ball was, did Morstead put it within the 10? Probably so. He's great, but... It could have just as easily went out the back of the end zone, come back to the 20. So you only lost 10 yards. I mean, let's be aggressive. At home.
I mean, if you convert there, the game's over. I'd rather do that. And even if you punt inside the 10, they still had 2 minutes. There was plenty of time for them to drive down the field. So whether it's at the 50 or whether it's at the 10, to me it doesn't matter. I like the aggressiveness of going for it.
Yeah. Oh, me too.
You know, just they had us covered, and it didn't work out. And I'm surprised they didn't review it because – considering what is and what isn't a catch these days, I mean, they could have easily reviewed that and called it an incompletion, and they would have gotten the ball.
All right, gentlemen. Free your mind.
I'd like to free something.
Focus.
That's what I was thinking.
Focus.
Whatever.
But anyway, so that was it. The dome was rocking. What are we talking about? I mean, the dome was just,
I'm watching, the video when... and Reggie came out in the fucking...
We didn't... Did you... I didn't know he was going to do that. Did you know he
was going to do that? I didn't either. Because I was looking for Reggie. I was like, I don't see 25.
I was looking for Reggie, too. And they, and Reggie Bush, for those who weren't there, Reggie Bush led the team out of the tunnel. And so we're waiting for... I'm waiting for Reggie, and I see this number 91 come out, and I'm waiting for Reggie, And Doug said, that's him in front. I said, no, that guy's wearing 91. Well, obviously he was doing it in tribute to Will Smith.
Right.
But I think he fooled a lot of us in the dome. You know, it wasn't until he did the Saints do a Saints Legends interview now on the sideline, and they put on the Jumbotron. So it wasn't until he did that, and I could see the 91 on him, that I realized it was Reggie. And then... Also, and I don't know if you got there early enough, Jason, in the stadium, but they had, 9, 10, 11 players from the 2009 championship
team? It looked like they had more than that. It looked like they had about 15.
Right. I mean, Scott Shanley, Streif.
A bunch of guys. Chris Reese.
PT, Chris Reese.
Yeah, a bunch of guys. Colston.
Fujita, Shanley, Colston, Lance Ford.
Yeah, all those guys. I got in earlier. mean, playoff game, I was excited anyway, but I got in to hear Manny Fresh.
Right, right.
Because he was the opening DJ. I just wanted to get in and hear some of that. Right, just but, be ready. Like, I didn't want to be late. I didn't mind sitting in my seat for 45 minutes or an hour if I had to. I just wanted to be in.
No, it was so much fun having those, you know, those players there. And then, you know, so the Reggie led the Who Dat chant, but all the players got all the, you know, the alumni players. They all got around him. And, again, the dome was loud. And throughout the game, when they wanted the fans to get loud, the Super Bowl players were in different sections of the stadium, and they'd go to them, and they would bump up the crowd. So, yeah, I mean, it was...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it was the Saints, you know. They were looking to get a dome field advantage, and they got it. And now, look, this might be, and I'll get Jason's opinion, this might be, I think, the time of year or whatever, but, you know, for the Atlanta game, didn't see a lot of Atlanta fans. Like, remember, we've been complaining over the last couple of years of seeing opposing fans in jerseys in our stadium. Now, again, it could be that it was Christmas time and, you know, people don't really travel, you know, the Atlanta game and this game. But a lot of black and gold, very, very little turquoise and black.
Yeah, I mean, fuck, the Panthers already played here once, so it's not like it was a new thing. But I don't know, like, how many games, how many tickets do they give away for playoff games? Is it, what, like 3,000?
To the other team? I mean, I would imagine, it's whatever it is normally.
In the regular season?
Right. Right, because, I mean, see, the ticket holder, we all get our first shot at him.
But again, also, like, I think the excitement is back where, like, people actually want to go, because we're good again, people want to go back to the games, you know?
Funny what winning does.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know? Look at Jeff. I mean, when you don't win, that's what happens to you.
What?
What does that even mean, Basil? It was colder than I thought it would be Sunday, because we've been in this fucking cold snap, and it was supposed to be warmer. We got out there, and it was windy as fuck. We got out there, so the game was at 3:40. We got out there at like 11:30, 11:45, went to the Outback tailgate for a while, and then Trey was at the Republic, had a private party, second floor of the Little Gem Saloon, the one that's right there across the street from Walk-On. So we went there to get out the cold because it was fucking freezing. Like, I had a long sleeve shirt underneath. Didn't think I needed a sweatshirt, but I probably fucking did it. So we left that.
You didn't get hot in the dome, though?
No, I was fine.
See, I get hot. I just had a long sleeve shirt on. I was fine.
I was fine. So, like, we left that, and then I got to meet Angry Hugh Dad and another Twitter guy for the first time, so that was interesting.
None of the UK guys made it down for this?
Not the podcast guys, no.
Oh, well.
But, I mean, dude, yeah, the dome was so loud. It was fucking great.
It came across on TV, and you know Fox usually subdues the crowd noise for some reason. They couldn't subdue this one.
I mean, man, like, when you see the video that's been posted on Twitter of Reggie doing the chant.
That was the loudest I've ever heard. And it clear. Sounds, and clear.
It was. It was
so
clear.
Fucking loud.
It was clear. Oh, did we repost that? We need to repost that.
I think I did. I didn't repost that one. I reposted something.
So I can find it.
Yeah, it was so fucking loud.
No, you're right. The best Who Dat. I mean, man, that felt... I want one more game with the dome.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't be opposed to that shit.
So, yeah, no, great game. We dominated.
We dominated, but it got close at the end. Like, man, McCaffrey touchdown. Because, he's coming, you know, I'm in the corner, and he catches it. And the second he catches it, I'm like, fuck, nobody's going to get him.
Nope, yeah.
We were just out of position. Nobody's going to get him. And I'm just like, how the fuck do you let that happen with 4 minutes to go? It's like right before that, we had scored. We were up two scores.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we fucking got it. We're in great shape.
Well,
and then just bleh.
For that drive, it was, you know, where I'm sitting there and I say, look, they can score. That's fine. Like you said, they have 4 minutes left. But they have to eat the clock if they score. That's fine. Only thing we can't do is give up a quick score. And that's exactly what we did, you know.
Yeah.
But then the offense stepped up and the defense killed it. So I don't know. You know, look, we are in the best division in the NFL, bar none. Not even close. And, you know, this victory to me, you know, put it, okay, we won it. You know, we won it, and then we defeated them. We even though we had the same record, we swept the Panthers three times, which is embarrassing if you're a Panthers fan. You know, so.
Well, there was that meme that Big Easy Mafia UK posted a little while ago. It says it was a meme with Cam Newton, you know, sad face Cam Newton saying, when you go 11-6, but half your losses came from the Houdats. I mean, you think about that. Half their losses this year was the same.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how mad would that make you?
It's fucking glorious. I love it.
So the other thing is, I guess we haven't really touched on that, is the concussion thing. Whether or not it was a concussion, whether he did have an eye injury. I don't know if what y'all saw or heard in the stands.
I mean, I couldn't tell anything. All of a sudden, he goes to the ground. I'm like, well, shit, he must be concussed, but I didn't see all the details.
Right. Well,
at this point, you know, I mean, he was, because it's like, well, how can he have an eye injury? He was wearing a fucking visor. But, you know, you see a replay, it looks like it, that definitely might have, I mean, I don't know. I mean, either he was concussed and they fucked up concussion protocol, or he wasn't concussed and they faked the injury, so Derek Anderson could have time to warm up. I mean, like, I mean, I don't know. At this point, I mean, you don't really know. I mean, nobody, other than what they tell you, I mean, how do you, there's no way to prove whether
I mean, this whole concussion thing is being handled, I don't know, a little incorrectly. I mean, they act like it's the worst injury in the league now. If you, you know, oh my God, he got concussed, you know.
Well, I mean, it does cause guys to kill themselves.
How many guys? We don't know. We don't really know that.
A handful.
Okay. Out of how many?
So far, I mean, yeah, I mean, we don't know.
Well, I'm asking you how many. Okay, so you got the handful number right. Okay, I got you that. But of how many? You know, a handful out of 12. Oh, yeah, that's a big problem. You know, a handful out of 12,000.
Okay, a handful out of 12,000. You don't. But I mean, you can't honestly sit here and say concussions aren't an awful.
I can say it might not be the way they're handling it, yes. But I mean, look, nobody had more concussions than Bobby Hebert or Troy Aikman. You know, he had eight during his, at least eight, nine, 12 during his playing career, you know? So, you know, look, obviously getting hit in the head often isn't a good thing. I mean, it doesn't take a doctor to tell you that. But that they,
on Deadspin, there is a article about the whole situation and saying how, I mean, it more than likely, Ron Rivera even said, he goes, he was injured, right? It was the eye injury thing. It wasn't a concussion. He passed the concussion protocol, but they wanted him to go down while on the field because to give Anderson a chance to warm up.
Oh, the warm, right.
That you have the right, the ability to do that. If you're injured, you can take, you know, draw it out. And even in this article, like Jeff Saturday, you know, Jeff Saturday is, as an analyst nowadays, said that's 100% true. When he's walking the sideline, everybody should know. Coaches, players on the sidelines are all telling you,
get down.
The backup has to warm up. You want the center to be able to get over there, take some practice snaps. So even the whole thing. Like, and then they did mess with his eye and all that. I'm sure it really was an eye injury and probably not a concussion.
Yeah.
I even don't fault him for going down, like, because the natural instinct, especially as a Saints fan, is Cam Newton's being a – he's whatever.
Right. Well, look, I sit on the opposing team's sideline. So, you know, Cam does his thing, goes to the ground. When he gets back up and they're finished with him, okay, just from on the field, he goes and stands on the sideline with his helmet, you know, I mean, you know, just right there on the field on the sideline. And I watched, because they're in front of me, three guys, they all have colored hats on. I think that's supposed to, you know, mark them as somebody. And I watched them walk from one side of the, you know, the sideline to the other, saying, you know, go get him. They sent a trainer to grab him and bring him out, and they put the little blue tent up and walked him in, you know. But so what I'm hearing, I guess, on the things afterwards is that those are team doctors that are making these decisions. if you don't want home cooking, then the NFL needs to somehow get independent concussion reviewers on the sideline, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's okay. And again, you get a concussion, yeah, I'm not saying not to sit them out, but, you know, I'm not sure that it's the...
Right.
You know, I'd much rather have a concussion than Joe Theismann's injury.
Joe Theismann's gross. I don't know. I think I'd rather have Joe Theismann's injury than a head injury.
Really?
A head injury affects your livelihood the rest of your life.
Really?
Like I'd rather have a shattered leg than a concussion.
Okay, I'll take a concussion.
I mean, look, I've never had either. I don't know what they feel like, but I think I'd rather go with a broken leg.
Yeah, how'd a concussion feel?
I wouldn't know.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Why?
I don't know. Not really. Kind of fit, but not really.
Yeah. Ask Steve Young. Hadn't he had a lot of them?
He had a couple, yeah.
All right. Let's move into look at him tweets. All right, so we'll be quick on this one. One of these tweets, it really wasn't tweeted to us, but I saw it on Twitter. You know the broom pictures in the video with Ingram and Sean Payton bringing the broom out for Ted Ginn, and everybody was taking turns and taking pictures.
Did y'all see the picture of Benson with
That's
the broom?
The one I'm talking about! That
oh, my God.
It was Benson with the broom.
I about fucking lost it when I saw that. Like, does he even know that that's a broom? He's like, what? Whoa, this is a second game? This is great.
This cane is good for sweeping the Panthers.
Right. Oh, this cane is so soft on the bottom.
Right.
I mean, right, when you got him in there
this
doing
cane's
that.
Cane's got a Hitler mustache on the bottom of it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I lost it.
But the broom was awesome. I think the broom had to be just some, like, spontaneous spur of the moment thing that they came up with in the locker room after the game, right? I mean,
I guess, yeah.
It was just a chintzy little broom. It wasn't anything special.
That's what makes it, I think, more funny and more fun is the fact that it's like some random tiny little broom. It's,
right.
It's not like well, you know, the baseball bat.
Right. I mean, the funny thing, you know, I mean, we stayed in our seats until, you know, way after the game was over, you know, probably, you know, after 5 or 6 minutes. And so we're walking out of the dome, and you know how they have the, on the TVs and everything, they have a dome feed, you know, an in-house feed. And yeah, so we're walking by, everybody, you know, they have the in-house camera is in the locker room watching the players do it. Sean Payton got involved. He was doing, he was dancing, you know. I said, man, that's just, team having fun.
We stayed in our seats for a while and kind of let the crowd filter out. It was on the Jumbotron.
The Jumbotron, right?
Yeah.
Right, they started showing that.
And it's like, oh fuck, that's awesome! And then they cut away. It's like, no, I want to see more of that. Like, leave that on.
Right.
What channel is this?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, does that mean to see them? Like, clearly they're all having fun, and it's like, dude, you see more shit like that. And even like right when the game ended, after that big sack. They all go in, and a couple of guys hop in the stands. It's like,
a couple of guys. I think the whole offensive unit would not hop in this, or defensive just, unit. I mean, it had to be about half a dozen guys jump in the stands.
This team is so fucking likable, and I've enjoyed watching this team much.
They're having fun with it.
Just even that, like, everybody likes each other. They're having fun. Like, they're fun to watch. They're fun to pull for. Like, everything's just been great.
It's that
like, locker
room.
There's no guy. It's like, oh, yeah, that guy's an asshole.
It's that locker room that Sean Payton, I think, and Breeze have been trying to create for the last 4 years. They couldn't.
Something worked this time.
And maybe it comes down to the firing of Bill Johnson, Joe Vitt, and what's his name?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean,
there was a story.
That they were poisoned in the locker room?
No. Did I say poison? No. Is that what you heard?
Well, you say that this is a locker room they're trying to be built.
I thought you said that they were poisoned in the locker room.
No. You mean literally poisoned in the locker room?
Someone poisoned them in the locker room. No, but they were poisoned. No, I don't know. I'm just saying. something, whatever changes were made this offseason worked.
Well, it was big changes that Peyton had to make, and there was a story in the paper this week about the players talking about how now they actually have, like, pass rush situations that they do in practice that apparently they didn't used to do.
Oh.
It's like, well, how do you not, like, how do you not do that? And like, Bill Johnson, and, I mean, look, the Saints have a decent pass rush now.
It could very well be related to that, where what he did was earn the players' respect. Like, maybe the issue was that there were a lot of players saying, like, he keeps talking the game about, you know, team first, but he takes care of his boys, and he's got his favorites, and even if it's at the coaching level, like, he lets these coaches come in and get away with not coaching or whatever it is. Maybe the actions he took earned enough respect to where it created that locker room that you wanted.
Look, there was definitely a malaise, you know.
So it's working. Let's keep it.
If you go to NewOrleansSaints.com, they have pictures in the locker room, you know, with the broom and all that. And even though it's a still picture, you can tell Sean Payton has no rhythm whatsoever.
All the videos that have come out, like that's been the best part. Watching all these videos from the locker room celebration. Watching him trying to get in there, and
a little concerned
Breeze
with,
gets in there.
I'm a little concerned with Breeze grinding on Ingram.
Why?
I don't know.
Why? There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know. He's married with kids, you know.
Check your privilege.
All right, well, he's married.
Well, hey, that's all right.
That's more concerned about his infidelity than his... All right. Let's actually read a tweet here.
I was gonna say, I thought we had some tweets or something. Yeah, we haven't even read one tweet to us yet.
Right.
Hey, because we're in the playoffs and we're winning. We're in the divisional round. It's great.
All right. So this one comes from Dalton Belgar. Says, "Is it bad? I'm not even worried about the Vikings and already expecting a Falcons Saints game back in the dome for the NFC Championship."
Yes. Yes. The Vikings are a tough team.
We might
at home.
Debate that.
Yeah.
Okay. No, the Vikings are a tough team, but it's almost like, well, at this point, it's Lanyap. I mean, we won a home playoff game.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of like we're freewheeling now.
Exactly. We're playing with
you know, I mean, look, all the pressure is on Minnesota because they've been a better team all year, and they've got the Super Bowl in their stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of pressure on them to win this game.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's true. All right.
Maybe we'll get into this, I guess.
Preview.
All
right, so another one from this one's coming from T. Pedroza. Yeah, considering they're better in almost every aspect, better D-line, linebackers, secondary, O-line, wide receiver core, also one of the best home field advantages in the league, you're going to be disappointed this weekend.
You know what they're not better at?
He was replying to Dalton's tweet about, is it bad?
Oh.
So he was saying... Yes, it's bad because Minnesota. I don't know if he was. Is he?
It's hard to tell sarcasm with a
yeah.
Tape.
Yeah, I can't.
But I will say this: yeah, they are better in a lot of aspects than we are. You know what they're not better at? The most important position on the field.
Quarterback, no doubt.
That's exactly what Breeze proved this week.
Yep.
You know, as long as we got that guy behind center.
Right. Look, I mean,
we have a chance.
I mean, this is going to be. Hard to say. And look, right now we are devastated with injuries. Devastated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk about the fucking
devastated. And right.
Brutal. Just when you think we couldn't, like we have enough injuries, and now we lose another guy, another starter.
Right. And it's fucked up.
It's the theme of the year.
It's so. I got angry. It's like, come on, we have enough injuries.
You got angry, Pete.
It's fucking bullshit. I was angry.
At Pete because he broke his leg. Well, that's
not angry at Pete. I'm angry at fucking God for giving us these fucking injuries.
You're angry
like,
at God.
Haven't we been injured enough?
That's what you're angry at God about.
At this point in time, in my irrational fandom, yes. That's what I'm
saying. He's angry at
it's not that, oh, you didn't give me the winning Powerball or Mega Millions numbers this weekend. Yes,
right. That faith you have, and you're angry that Pete broke his leg. Okay.
In the moment, that's what I'm at.
All right, Davis Douglas says, given the significance of the game and that the running game could not get going at all, would you say that this was one of Drew's best performances?
I mean, clearly. I think it was. He had no running game. Now, Carolina stacked the box to stop our running game, and they did that. I mean, we had 40 yards rushing this week.
No, did we have that many? Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we might have.
Yeah, we had 41 yards rushing total.
Right, I think on like 20 carries. Well,
so, I mean,
wasn't our first rush attempt with Tommy Lee Lewis?
Oh, don't get me started.
Oh, yeah. One rush for Nick. Yeah, that was I was angry at that play call because that was so stupid.
Was that Peyton trying to be cute?
Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We had I don't remember what they were, but we had gotten two nice plays and what it was like a third. It was third and one
or third and two, and right.
Negative four.
So then that leads us into the tweet then from Nick NRG, who we know. We've talked about
hate. We know does not like Sean Payton.
He hates. Right. So he says, we won in spite of Sean Payton.
Oh, come on!
We are so not winning in Minnesota with that shit play calling, period.
Jesus.
I mean, the guy has just got a hard-on for Payton's play calling this year.
I mean, yeah, you know what we also did? Payton saw, oh, shit, we can't run the ball. We're going to throw it on him with our Alabama quarterback. And you know what? We won a fucking playoff game. Stop getting pissed off at Sean Payton, dude.
Yeah.
Stop it.
No, I mean, back to what we said earlier. I said we're playing with house money.
Yeah.
We had to win this game. Okay, now the season is a success. Whatever happens next is, like you said, lanyap. But
yes.
Now, you know, we had to get into the divisional round, and we did, and we have a playoff victory. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Nick, you know what? Stop being angry. You know what? Enjoy the fact that we're winning playoff games. How about that?
It's what we've been asking for a long time.
Yes. You know what's great? We're not 7-9. We just won a fucking playoff game. Enjoy it. Don't be pissed off and still hating Sean Payton.
All right. And then the last tweet comes from Greenbaum saying, well, we've said it before. You can stop our run attack, but we still have Breeze, and I'll take him over any QB in the league. Just a reinforcement of everything we've been saying since the top of the show, which is a natural segue into Pick'ems.
It's time to play the game. Put your money on the table. Come on. It's the one game you never, ever win. Yeah. My game. Come on. My time. Yeah, what you got?
Not a great week of Pick'ems for us. Damon led the week at 2-2.
2-2, yeah. I took two heavy spreads and two.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee went out. I mean, Kansas City's fucking collapsed, man. They were up 21-3.
Yo, that was. I mean, could you imagine being a Chiefs fan? I mean,
classic Jeff. I mean, it was a classic Andy Reid game where Andy Reid channels his inner Jeff.
Do you realize that? I think it's like, how many is that now? The Chiefs have not won a playoff. They're the opposite of the Saints, right? They have not won a playoff game at home since like
92 or 91. Yeah. It's been a long time. It's been a really, yeah. It's crazy. Because, I mean, they were clearly, Kelsey's injury really affected him, but still, I mean, you're up 21-3, you're dominating the game. You know, like, Andy Reid finds a way to lose. it's amazing. And he still finds a way. He's a good coach. He's won a shit ton of games, but he finds ways to lose in the playoffs. It's amazing. So, yeah, Damon was the only one to pick Tennessee. I was the only one to pick the Falcons. I mean, I was very surprised at that outcome. Brett Courtney had his 40th birthday party, and we were at the party watching the game, and I'm just...
Yeah. And of all the games, they dominated the most. You know, I mean, they really dominated the Rams. But, you know, look, you look at those two teams, obviously, the Falcons just coming off a Super Bowl, they have more playoff experience than a young Rams team who haven't made the playoffs in, I'm not sure, but I think 12 years or something like that.
And also rested their starters in Week 17.
Yep.
That had something to do with it.
Don't
kind
do
of
that.
Tried to outsmart themselves, and it didn't work out.
But, hey, look, the Rams are a young team. But, you know, I mean, if you're a Rams fan, I think you should, you know, your future's bright.
Yeah, so then I took Jacksonville when they burned me again. Y'all both took Buffalo. Jeff switched from Jacksonville to Buffalo.
You said every time you take Jacksonville.
Every time I take Jacksonville, they fuck me. Mm. I mean, Blake Bortles had more rushing yards than passing yards.
Blake Bortles is the... I mean, we need to go there and try out. I mean, goddamn. I mean,
He's. Could you imagine if they have a competent quarterback? Like, they might be Super Bowl favorites.
No. Well, again, I mean, I don't know. You know, Eli, I guess, is a...
Yeah, and with Conklin being there. Well, he's not a free agent yet, but we'll see if the Giants decide.
Well, I think you could probably get him pretty cheap.
But, so then we all took and lost with the Saints who didn't cover, so they went 2-2. Jeff and I went 1-3, so Jeff is now leading three of us at 43-43. I'm two games back still, 41-45, and Damon is 36-45.
It's funny how we talked about last week how 500 is the pick'em's kind of the goal there, and I'm actually at 500 at the top. So how you like them apples?
That's the way it goes.
Especially after
I'm sure you'll find a way to finish under 500, but we'll see.
I'm doing everything I can, apparently.
There you are.
Still seven games left to lose.
All right. So, yeah, I'm still in third place, though, behind Jimbo Rantz and Vincent Burke.
Wow.
And two games behind Jimbo Rantz there. Life of Ty, and then Jason. Life of Ty. Then Jason, then Doug, Wheels, Who Dat Fitz, CJG, Gerald Booty, Davis Douglas, Neil, Damon, Miso Mad, Ed Hunt, Greenbaum, Scott Waters, Chris McGuire, Triple D, Preston Allen, Ryan Angier, EJ Pasternot, Dr. Who Dat, and that's it. Everybody else has missed so many games that...
You've gone fucked yourself.
You've done shit your bit. You are like the Panthers. You've missed too much.
Bring out your dead. Come up with a Twitter name. I'm not dead yet. I feel fine.
I'm going to go 4-0 this week.
I will get better.
I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Right.
I think I'll play the shitty game later.
I love shitty games of the week. All right. Division around, so there's only seven more games left on the season. Mm-hmm. So I'm behind Jeff at two games. It's now, you know, I kind of went the other way on a couple games last week, and I won one, but then I lost another one because Jeff switched at the last minute.
Yeah.
Why'd you switch? You could have gone 0-4.
I told you why I switched, because I had to catch up with Jimbo.
Yeah.
And actually...
I mean, it worked. You won that game.
Yeah, I got the 80-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, all right. First game, the Shitlanta Falcons. Went off that win, travel to Philly. Play the Eagles, coming off the bye. Obviously, the Wentz going with Nick Foles. And Philly's an underdog here, getting 2.5 at home. I mean, look.
Like first time in history.
If we would have gone to Philly, I think we would have been favored.
Anybody would have been favored in Philly.
Yeah.
Nobody believed in Nick Foles.
Nobody believes in Philly without wins.
All right, I'll go first. I'm taking the Falcons on that one. I think they are going to win it. And even if it's by a field goal, they're going to win this game.
Good. That makes my choice even easier.
I'm going to go Philly.
Yeah, I'm taking the home dog.
All right.
Look, I get it. Nick Foles isn't great, but, I mean, the rest of Philly's team is good. And I don't know, I know the Falcons went in and won in L.A., but I still don't think the Falcons are that good.
They're not, but they're going to lose in New Orleans.
I mean, I know that's what everybody wants. Look, I can't, in good conscience, pull for the Falcons. If it happens, it happens, and we get another home playoff game, but I cannot pull for the Falcons.
Yeah, no, look, I agree there, because... The whole day, you know, I'm like sitting here telling myself, you know, Jeff, we have to cheer. We want the Falcons to win if we want that to happen. But I'll say the entire time I'm watching the game, every time something good happened for the Falcons, I couldn't be happy about it. I'm like, you know, I'd rather them lose than have the NFC Championship game You know what I mean? I don't know. It's just what it is.
All right. Next game, the Tennessee Titans coming off that stunning win in Kansas City. Mariota throwing a touchdown to himself. Derrick Henry rushing for a lot of yards. Traveling to New England to play the Pats. We're rolling on as the Pats, although there was that ESPN story about dysfunction in the organization. Whether that's true or not, who knows?
Manufactured.
So, I don't know if this is the biggest spread in the playoffs ever, but it's got to be up there. New England's favored by 13.5.
I'm kind of thinking of taking New England.
Yeah, I'm going to take New England. I'll take New England in the 13.5. They're gonna smoke these boys.
I mean, Tennessee. I mean, this is who I can't remember who said it on Twitter, I think, or wherever I read it. But it was kind of like, it's not fair that New England gets two bye weeks.
Yeah, you're right. New England's got such an easy path. It's absurd.
So, Jason, you go first. You go before me.
All right. Give me the Pats. They always blow out these teams. Like, a team might look good in the wild card weekend, then they go to New England, and they just fucking
wipe their butt. On top of the shit that ESPN tried to do to them last week, they're just going to circle the wagons and come out and annihilate Tennessee. Yeah, I'll take New England.
All right. The late game. Oh, no, the early game Sunday. Jacksonville. Coming off a 10-3 squeaker at Buffalo, Blake Bortles passes for 87 yards, rushes for 88 yards. Travels to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers, who Antonio Brown was at practice today, so it looks like they will be a full go. Jacksonville did beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh in Week 5 this year. Roethlisberger threw 5 picks. But now the Steelers are favored by 7.5.
Ooh. Jacksonville has a hell of a defense and no offense.
I'm going to go first. I know they always fuck me, but I'm going with Jacksonville because I think
I'll take Pittsburgh. That's an easy one.
That's smart. Jacksonville always fucks me, but...
Yeah, since Jason took Jacksonville. Jeff, just take Pittsburgh.
I am, but what was the spread?
7.5.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking Pittsburgh. Because of the reason, like Jason said, I'm done trusting Jacksonville.
All right, and now the game of the week, as far as I'm concerned. 3:40 on Sunday. Saints travel to Minnesota.
Okay, so this is the second time we get the late Sunday game. Is that the prime time game? Is that the... Right, that's the big game of the week because we had Aikman and
what's the finale?
Well, and we had Aikman and Buck this week because Fox only had the one game because Saturday was ESPN and NBC. But I think this weekend is CBS and Fox on both days. So I'm kind of thinking they're not going to want to go to New Orleans twice. So they're going to go.
They're not.
Well, they're not. They're going to go to Minnesota.
Well, okay. Well, not showcase the Saints again. I think they're going to go to Philly. To go to a different,
they know to host, who the best
hold on
team.
To host a different team, and also the Falcons were in the Super Bowl last year, so I think Aikman and Buck Saturday game. If I had to, I mean, I don't know what it is. I'm sure it's
well,
but I don't know. I mean, I think we're the better game, but I mean, you got Philly and you got the team that was. I'm just thinking of the
Saturday games. I'd imagine for ratings aren't very good. You know, Saturday. People tend to get up and go, you know, to go do something. Sunday, you sit at your house on your butt.
But I mean, it's the playoffs, playoff rating. I mean, look, if Green Bay was playing the Giants, you know, on Saturday, I mean, they'd be fucking Aikman. Didn't they do that Bridget Cole game?
I don't know.
What's the spread?
Well, don't we need Minnesota's favored by 4?
So then we're taking New Orleans because they're going to win the game.
Well, yeah, obviously we're all taking New Orleans. So this is the second time we're going to see him this year. We played him, 18 weeks ago.
With a vastly different.
With
roster,
a two different with all right, the injuries two different. Had. Well, I mean, look.
Well, wait. Let's just talk about it and get. Let's officially move into the segment because Pick'em's over. There, we all made our.
Well, I figured this.
So yeah.
This well, I kind of thought this is.
Well, you got to play the music there.
Classic, yeah.
playing the music. That's classic Jason.
That you're right. That is classic Jason.
All right. So, Saints, Minnesota. Damon, you were saying?
Well, you know, a lot of Saints fans have to really know why we hate these SOBs. We all know it's easy to hate Atlanta, you know, their arrival. And San Francisco back in the day, I think all of us, you know, fans who remember the NFC West all hate them. But Minnesota has been a thorn in our side since 1987. If you know your history, our very first playoff appearance after going 12-3, we have a hosted game in the Superdome, and the Vikings spank us. I think it was 44-10 with the final.
And weren't we up 10?
We were up 10-0, yep. Yeah. Yep, we were up 10-0. Then, if you remember, after our first playoff victory against the Los Angeles Rams, or St. Louis Rams at the time, where do we go? We have to travel to Minnesota where they pump in noise, if you remember that big controversy with Coach Haslett, and we get beat by the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
You know, right? And then I think it was... Oh, goodness, what, 03 or 04, when, you know, we needed to win one game to make it to the playoffs. Vikings were one of those games. And Dante Culpepper fumbles a two-point conversion, but still is able to pick it up and run into the end zone to, you know, kind of knock us off the playoffs.
That was the game Courtney almost got arrested. The Saints blew the game at the end. Culpepper, we walk out, like, right across the main entrance of the Dome on Poitras. There's, like, this parking lot. Now there's like a nice fence there, but before it was like this old creaky wooden fence, and we were angry, and he kicked it, and like it was an old rotted board or rotted nail, and it just fell to the ground, and some random cop saw him, like an Officer Farva, and
give me a liter of cola.
A what?
A liter of cola.
Liter of cola? Do we make liter of cola?
Will you just order a large Farva? I don't want a large Farva. I want a goddamn liter of cola.
I don't know what that is.
Liter is French. For give me some fucking cola before I break Moose fucking lip.
All right, relax.
And saw him and was like, you just destroyed property. Arrested him. Put him in the back of the cop car. And we're like, holy shit, is this really happening? And Jimmy was like either still in law school or just out of law school. And he was with us, and all of a sudden, we're like, no, Jimmy, you come talk to this guy. And, like, the cop had called the owner of the lot. Jimmy took the cop's phone, explained what happened. He's like, dude, this is an old rotted thing. Like, Courtney kicked it out. We had fixed it and put it back while Courtney was in the back of the car.
And the guy said, I'm not pressing charges or anything?
Oh, of course. The guy said, yeah, there's no way I'm pressing charges.
He's like, Jimmy just lost the fucking playoff game. You think
right, I'm like, wrong? Right, like, Officer Farber, like, what did you just do? And Courtney's like, did you just see the game? Like, that was his response to the cop. It was hysterical.
Classic Courtney.
So, yeah. But that was that fucking Culpepper game where...
All right. So the Saints are going to Minnesota to play. You said... Did you get into the rest of the saga there about the...
Well...
2009?
Right. I mean, and obviously...
Clearly everybody's listening knows. But.
Right. Clearly, Minnesota, you know, they... This is a bigger rivalry to them than honestly to us, because they are still butthurt over the 2009 game where they thought they deserved to go to the Super Bowl when they were playing the team of destiny.
Despite the fact that they fumbled six times.
Right. I mean, right. So this is, you know, look, they still hate us, you know, because that's where all Bounty Gate came from. You remember that little pedophile they had at the head coach, yeah?
Childress,
who's actually he was working under Andy Reid in Kansas City. Apparently, he's going to be retiring. Brad Childress, even though they were running their own bounty program at the same time,
right? But anyway, so there's definitely a reason who that nation to hate the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. And again, how nice would it be to stop them from going to the Super Bowl in 2009, and then to stop them from being the first team ever to host the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, to play in their own stadium.
And I always, look, when the playoffs were happening, I figured at some point or another we were going to have to play Minnesota. Right. So whether it's this week or next week, we're going to have to do it. And I mean, Courtney and Adam kept saying this the other night. Like, they'd rather play Minnesota this week than next week.
Yep.
You know, when it's like, holy shit, they're one game away.
Yeah. And look, quarterbacks, you know, making their first start in playoff games have not fared well over the last 5 or 6 years. Not counting Saturday and Sunday. They were 1-10.
Yeah. And look, I mean, Bortles didn't play great. This team was good enough at Buffalo. Just wasn't that good of a team. But, I mean, you know, other than Mariota, right. I mean, now, it's all the experience.
Yeah, all right, so let me throw this at you. Something that Greenbaum texted me this morning. He says, you know, something for y'all to think about, discuss on the show. He says, the Vikings, they're a good team, no doubt, but they played a very, in all caps, weak schedule. They only played 2 to 3 decent teams this year. The Steelers, the Rams, and even give them Carolina, right, since they made the playoffs.
Well, they played the Falcons, too. I mean, fuck, the Falcons are still alive.
Yeah, but they lost to two of those teams. The Steelers, the Rams, and Carolina, they lost to two of those teams. Everybody that they beat is garbage. Like, all right, they beat the Saints in Week 1. We were garbage at that time. Completely different Saints team. That game you can't even reference, okay? But they beat a bad Saints team. They beat, all right, the Steelers kicked their ass 26-9. They beat the Bucks. So what? We lost to them once. the Lions did beat. They split with the Lions, right? So what else did they beat? They beat the Bears. They beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers. They beat the Ravens. Okay, but they beat the Browns. Calm down, everybody. They beat the Redskins. They did beat the Rams. Give them that one. And yeah, they beat the Falcons barely. The Panthers beat them.
The Vikings are
a good team. There's you have to
win the game that
I guess where I like about it is it's they're not invincible. They're not the big scary. No. I think the environment is going to be more of a threat than the team.
They have a very good home field advantage, you know, in Minnesota. So,
and but their fans are going to come in wild, yep, as wild as Cleveland because they want that home field Super Bowl.
Oh, no doubt. That is,
and they hate us.
And the hatred
for the Pro 9. They hate us.
Yeah, they're revenge game in their minds.
But, so again, I mean,
their defense is legit, and it's, you know, like, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of worried, especially with Pete not being in.
Yeah.
Kelamente have to look. Kelamente has played great when he's had to come in, and but he's not. You know, I mean, look, he's great. He's very serviceable, and our line is going to play well. But we're going to have to open up the running holes, you know, the running lanes. The good thing is, I mean, at least after the first, I mean, in the first game, they still had Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, he'd gone.
And they also did have Sam Bradford, but Case Keenum has played well. But they had Dalvin Cook, and McKinnon and Murray have been pretty damn good for them. But at least I'd be more scared if they still had Cook, but their defense is going to be tough. It's not going to, I mean, it's going to be a hard, hard game, you know, to move the ball.
No, and look, and with their defense, I mean, they can maybe pull off what the Panthers were trying to do because they have a better secondary than the Panthers. So maybe they can stack the box and make us throw the ball and have more success in Carolina. It's going to be a tough game. We have to, you know, I think really it's going to be who makes more mistakes, who had this fumble or, you know.
We need to force a couple of turnovers.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be so nice. But can we beat this team 100%?
Yes.
100% can we beat this team. And I think we all feel this way, and we've mentioned it several times during the show. We have our playoff victory this year. This year is a success. It doesn't matter, you know.
Nope, I'm hungry now.
Mm-hmm.
I got a taste of it, and I need more.
Right, I need
more.
I can't quit.
Oh, no doubt, but
they showed that we've overcome a lot just with injury, and we showed
right. I mean, look at how many starters we have. Like what, 8 or 9 starters, and with Pete going down, 8 or 9 beginning of the year starters, counting Fairley, that are now out. Like it's absurd that we're even here. You know, like, Peyton's not going to get Coach of the Year. They'll probably give to McVay or whatever, but the job that he's done with all the injuries we've had is pretty fucking incredible.
Yeah.
All right, so
I will go with, I'm going to go with 24-21. It's going to be a nerve-wracking game.
It would definitely be, I'm going to go 33-28.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to say 28-27.
Whoo, man. Talk about,
This one's going to be, this one's going to give you diarrhea.
I mean, look, you got a 1-point win, I got a 3-point win. It's still, that's just as close. It's just as close.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, that is the show. It's amazing that, I think we're all still level-headed about all this is what's impressing me. I mean, the level of celebration I was doing here last night, even with the win, just kind of, I would have thought that if we would have recorded last night, it would have been a completely different show.
Oh, no.
Than having slept on it.
I definitely agree. But okay, but in answer honestly, I mean, who was scared going into yesterday's game?
I was not scared going into the
NFL. Well, but you're, you know.
Scared is the rough word. I wouldn't say scared. I think what I said it on the show last week. I was nervous.
Cautiously
optimistic. I actually, for the Minnesota game, like I said, I was more concerned about the Panthers actually coming up with something that's going to give us trouble than I am of what Minnesota is going to come up with. My concern is that the Saints are going to find a way to, like, either beat themselves or let the crowd, the environment, prevent them from winning the game. Like, I'm not as worried about Minnesota, if that makes any sense.
I mean, look, when McCaffrey got that touchdown, I was nervous as fuck. I was so but I wasn't nervous. Like, I wasn't nervous all game because I figured, well, we beat them twice. Like, I just figured we got them. But when they got that touchdown, just the way the game, it's like, oh, dude, I was so scared, so nervous. Yeah.
So, as you said it many times during the show, Carolina win put the stamp on our NFC South championship. We got a playoff victory. Whatever we do in Minnesota is, extra.
Look, if we lose the game, I'll be disappointed. I'll be
upset a little bit, but, sure.
I mean, considering all the injuries we've had, like, I know the flaws the team has, but I am kind of like, it's almost getting to the, you know, it's getting to the point where, like, I mean, I really want to win. I'm ready to make a run, but if we, it's not like the San Francisco game in 11 where, like, I knew, like, we were the better team on the field.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. One last question. So, hypothetically, we win. Would you rather play Atlanta or Philly?
I can't actively pull for Atlanta to win a game, but I'd rather if we are playing the NFC title game. Clearly, I'd rather it be in the dome.
Okay, but even though that would be Atlanta, and that game would be the second most important game ever played in Saints history.
I think it might because be the most important. It'd be the most important
Super,
game
Super Bowl.
In the dome.
It'd be the most, right, Super Bowl, right. Right, because if, God forbid, you should lose that game to Atlanta and have them go to the Super Bowl, I mean, that would just...
It would be 100 nut punches.
Right. I mean, all the things that we've had over them for the last 7-8 years, our Super Bowl victory, their 2-point score against New York, their losing to San Francisco, you know, their tremendous, tremendous meltdown last year. If they would beat us to go to the Super Bowl, that would, you know, it would even things up.
It would, but, like, that's a risk I'm willing to take to host... The host of the NFC title game in the dome, where Breeze and Peyton are undefeated.
Right. And then, God forbid, we beat them, and it's just.
My thing is, if you get Atlanta in the dome for the NFC championship, it's in the Superdome. I have to. Like, my belief is that there's no way on God's green earth that Atlanta has a chance to win that game. the environment, the crowd, the team themselves. I don't know if other teams troll other teams as much as the Saints seem to troll the Falcons, and they're now trolling the Panthers. Like, I don't know if like the Saints organization, like Jason, you said, like, they're so likable if you're a fan of them, because it's like we're being run by fans. Like, the people who work for the Saints are fans of the Saints, and they're doing the things that fans want them to do. You know what I mean? Like I said, like Cam Jordan send the wine bottle, that story getting out, or the Saints Twitter or Facebook feeds doing. I don't know. I just feel like, and then the Saints themselves, the organization itself, setting up the riling the fans up the way they are by setting up the game atmospheres the way they did for the Falcons game. The second game. And then I got to think that they're going to come up with something amazing for that as well. I just don't.
Oh, I mean, right. I mean,
if it would happen. I don't know what you do. I mean, but it would be a high risk, high reward game. It just, you know, that game would be just.
I'm willing to take that chance. I'd be willing to take that chance.
You? Okay. Well, good for you.
You got to play at home.
Right. I mean,
you got to play at home. No, it's not even about. Right, part of it is home against Atlanta for the NFC Championship. Yeah, I think even Mike had tweeted us that, you know, it would make the Super Bowl the week after a less meaningful game for us. Like, you know what I mean? We beat it. The NFC Championship game is our Super Bowl at that point. Like, whatever happens the week after, who gives a fuck?
You're right.
Reroll. We don't need to win the Super Bowl. We already won.
Right. We won the meaningful game.
It would definitely take. If that's the way it took us to get to the Super Bowl, yeah, it would take the sting out of a Super Bowl loss, no doubt.
Right. We could always point back to that.
Yep. No doubt.
So, all right. Well, then first thing we got to do, though, is beat Minnesota. So don't, you know, as fans, we can take our eye off the prize, but we know the Saints are not going to do that themselves. So,
one at a time.
Meantime, that's all the show we have for you this week. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling your friends about the Dope Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dope Patrol PCast. And if you listen to us on iTunes, yes, there we are aware of the problem on iTunes where it's not updating the episodes. So you could listen, though, on you're not listening to this, so I don't know why it matters. So if you know someone who listens on iTunes, tell them to check out Podbean or our website, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
And we are working with Apple trying to get the updates to happen. It has to do with something with Apple's podcast service not reading our episode feeds. We're at the mercy of Apple's support, which takes longer than we would like to respond to things. Anyway, say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, kitty cat donkeys.
Good night, Who Dat Nation.
What the fuck? Hold on. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on.
Everybody get your roll on. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on. What? Everybody get your roll on. Everybody get your motherfucking roll on.